Thank you for joining me today. And where we left off last time in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, we thought together about how to answer this question. What does God look like? Our starting point in responding to this inquiry has been to say two things. One, the Bible says God, the Father, is not a physical being, but a spiritual being. And two, the Bible says God, the Father, is invisible. What I want to do today is finish off our excursion in Deuteronomy chapter 4 by making some observations about idolatry in each of our lives. And then on Monday, our discussion will take a stunning turn, one that you will not want to miss. If you really want to know what God looks like, be here Monday at this same time, and I will unveil for you the face of God. And in preparation for this upcoming broadcast and podcast, I have two requests I'd like to make of you. I'll repeat these later, so if you want to jot them down, get your writing utensil or phone, however you take notes, out. First, this weekend, get a Bible and read The Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. Revelation is the final book of the New Testament and the last book of the entire Bible. It's easy to find because it is at the end. When you get there, read all of the first chapter. It's 20 verses. Now, you might say, no way, Swallow. I'm too busy for that. Really? Frankly, I have serious doubts that you are that busy. But let me be gracious and give you a shorter option. Read the first three verses of Revelation chapter 1. This is the Revelation of Jesus Christ chapter 1, 20 verses, and or just the first three verses. Now please do not tell me you're too busy to read three verses of God's holy word. Second request. Invite someone you know to join you in listening to God Is, beginning on Monday. This person does not have to be a Christian. In fact, I urge you to invite someone you know who is not a believer in Jesus Christ to be there at the start of next week. Your family member, colleague, or friend can join us on the radio or via the podcast, downloadable from the WEZE website at 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. We're going to invest significant time in Revelation 1 in the weeks ahead, so there's no better time to invite someone along than to have them ready to tune in on Monday. Your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is as follows. Read the Revelation of Jesus Christ chapter 1, a minimum of verses 1 through 3, and then invite one person to join you on Monday, for God is. Got it? Good. Thank you in advance for doing this. If you will do this, I am confident you will feel very prepared for what's coming up here on God Is. We can know what God looks like, and I'll unveil that beginning next time. This is so exciting. I cannot wait for Monday to do this together with you and your friend that you will invite along. But today we return to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 15a, and I'll read that and continue all the way down to verse 19. This is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15a through 19. So watch yourselves carefully. Now verse 16, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. That was Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15a through 19. This is Moses' instruction to the people of God, and we should hear this admonition as being for ourselves also. Yesterday, we had our first piece of application from this text, and if you missed that, get the podcast and get caught up tonight or tomorrow, maybe on Sunday. But today, let's get to my second insight. It's this. When I read this passage of the Old Testament, I think, my, how idolatrous we are. If we're willing to come under the conviction of God as we read and meditate on His holy word, we are confronted with the sin of idol worship in our own lives. And lest you think I mean people who are not Christians, you know, the folks in your life who would never step through the doors of your church, or tune into God Is, let alone ever listen to Christian radio, period. I am not now primarily referring to them. Remember, in our text, Moses is speaking to God's people. I am too. Yes, anyone who is separate and apart from Christ is an idol worshiper. They worship themselves. They worship false gods. In the words of Moses, they will very often worship. I mean literally worship. Figures, animals, and nature. Really, just bow right down before all of the non-deities Moses mentions. By the way, this is very similar to the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1. Read Romans 1, 18 to 23, and compare it with Deuteronomy 4, 16 through 19. It's a perfect match. That's Romans 1, 18 to 23, and Deuteronomy 4, 16 through 19. Both Moses and Paul are writing about the same sin, idolatry. But what about you and me? Do we have idolatrous hearts? Idolatry is anyone or anything that replaces God as master of our lives. Can I give you an example of how I have wrestled with this recently in my own life? Well, if you prefer I don't, then just be patient because I'm going to. I recently experienced something that I do not get to do very much, a stretch of 3 days when I did not have to preach or teach or prepare for any sermons and teaching. Imagine that, I thought to myself. How can I use these days? And naturally, since I love to read, I sat down to do that. Now remember, I'm supposed to use this time to give my brain a rest. So all of the books on my list were of the do not think too much variety. I dove into that first book, a novel. Now, as a Christian, I research fiction well before buying it because I do not want to ever fill my mind with junk. So this was a clean one. I began reading. It was very enjoyable indeed. Alongside my book was a cup of black coffee, always coffee, as I plopped down at my favorite chair. The hours passed, the morning was gone, another coffee, lunch, and soon the day was gone reading. I slept. But about the time I hit the middle of that story the next day, I felt convicted. The Holy Spirit began to prod me until I couldn't stand it any longer. The books had again risen to challenge God as an idol in my life. Now here's the thing. The Holy Spirit was not convicting me of resting and enjoying free time. No. In fact, God commands rest. The Lord was not even hot on my trail because I was reading good books. I think he's a fan of reading. After all, the Bible is a book. Here's what my Father in heaven was addressing in me. I had put fulfilling my need for a good story ahead of him. I'd skipped over time in the Bible. I hadn't bothered to pray. Where even was that prayer journal of mine? Idolatry. It is anyone or anything that replaces God as master of our lives, even for a day. Novels were in, God was out. Idols. Now, you might think, really? That's your example of idolatry in your life? That's a pretty dumb example. Maybe you'd offer what you consider to be something more serious. Well, to be certain, I have wrestled with other temptations for idolatry. We all do, because replacing God with anyone or anything creeps up on all of us, whether we realize it or not. And for me, books are not just reading them, but buying them, researching them, following Goodreads and other sites on social media. This can be addictive for me, and it takes time and attention away from who? God. And I struggle with that. I do. I just wanted to share with you one way in which I can have an idolatrous heart. Now think about this in your own life. What idol is pushing out the Lord in your life? If you want to share it with someone who understands, write to me today. We can encourage one another to root out anyone or anything that is not God and resist this temptation that Satan thrusts upon us day after day. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." And the Apostle John wrote this in 1 John 5 and verse 21 at the very end of that instructive book, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." the little children are not kids, but any one of the children of God. One of the tricks the evil one likes to play on us is to say that if we cannot physically see God, that must mean that either God does not exist, this is what the atheist says he or she believes, and or that we are free to imagine God, to create an image of God for ourselves. And so step on any plane and travel to every corner of this world, and you will find idolatry staring you in the face. Before Christmas, we were in Japan, and the temples for various gods were everywhere. A tragic and sad to watch sincere and earnest Japanese people literally bow down to their gods that do not exist. But again, where is their idolatry in your life, dear Christian? We're not atheists. We're not making for ourselves graven images. We're not visiting temples, sanctuaries, and shrines and bowing down before them. We are not yielding to icons and praying to the supposed saints. Well, perhaps you are. That's idol worship. I submit to you, we all have idols that have invaded the throne room of our hearts, minds, and bodies. Many times for Christians, these are not the somewhat obvious forms of idolatry the world enjoys, but rather what we consider to be more quiet forms. Food, family. How many believers put their kids ahead of God? Service in the church. We spend so much time doing for God that we don't reverently, quietly worship Him. Are any one of you obsessed with Fox News? And yes, like me, we never only have just one. We're battling idols all the time in every which way in this culture. So here's the application I'm drawing from Deuteronomy. If we're Christians, let's not be too quick to only find the application for the non-believing world out there. Be sober-minded and judge ourselves in this. And for Monday, read Revelation 1 and invite a friend to join you as we continue to wrestle with the question, what does God look like?